research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Freezing Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
You showed me how to do exactly what you do, how I fell in love with you. You walk into a room and people fall for you, how I wanna be like you.
Back at the races, about 10 minutes into hour three on what's been a rather eclectic morning on At the Races. But that's, Dave, isn't that part of the appeal?
It is for me. That's why I like going on this show. Most eclectic show in America.
You never know what rabbit hole we end up in. And, you know, I earlier this morning I said, you know, in plugging the Dave Hill visit, I've got only, what, 3-4 weeks to figure out what to come up with, you know, after the Super Bowl, because I, now that we've had you every week for 4 months, I you know, I can't let you go back. I can't. This isn't like a catch and release where I let you back into the pond.
Yeah, and, you know, they may not ask me to do this again next season, so, you know, this could be a one-and-done thing. We'll see.
Please. They got to be delighted with your performance and, more importantly, with your analysis and the, you know, the writing. And please, it's you're in demand. That's
you're too kind. We'll see.
Well, now, of course, you keep going like you did Wild Card weekend, it might be a different story.
Wasn't so bad.
No, it was fine. I'm kidding.
I don't remember what I some of the games that I lost were games I was nervous about for sure. I wasn't feeling too excited about, but I was pretty hot on. The game I was the biggest on was Jacksonville.
Yes.
For a minute there, I thought, oh my goodness, this is not going at how I thought it would at all.
Craziest thing ever.
But yeah, what a game. What a game. And so I came out of that one looking like a genius, even though I got to say, I feel like it's hard to know how much of that was just the Chargers being Chargers, you know, and just not something I handicapped for, but I guess I might as well have.
Well, you were, I've got the check marks right here. I mean, the five-star Dave Hill special was definitely Jacksonville, and the sort of addendum of the game after Saturday that you liked the best were the Giants, and everything else you were kind of ambivalent about.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for our purposes, for those that listen carefully, you were 2-0.
Yeah, the two big upsets were the two games that I felt like there was just way too much value on those two dogs, and they both won outright. And I think I even said on the show that I liked Jacksonville's chances at winning outright. I was pretty high on them.
Yep.
The Giants, we've been talking all season about the Vikings being kind of an overrated team, so that one was not a big shocker to me. The Bengals, I was lucky to get a cover there. I mean, a push, that was one that I was starting
to get
a little nervous about.
That's true.
And look, what happened to the other games? The other games were favorites where the line was just too big. Too big to overcome. So that's why I didn't love it. We'll see. This week's there's a little bit of that this week too, but there's so few games now that I don't think I get the luxury anymore of begging off of any of them.
Well, this is always, the championship Sunday is special, for its own reasons. But this is always typically a very fun couple of days with these four games. And all the matchups have great intrigue and some regional or historic ties. Obviously, Dallas and San Francisco speaks for itself. Eagles and Giants have been playing since 1933. How about the two Eagle coaches, ex-Eagle coaches meeting Jacksonville, Peterson and Big Red?
Yeah, and and the Bills Bengals game is also going to have some particular resonance this week as
that's
well.
That's right. Yeah, ripped from today's headlines.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got some interesting stuff going on, and I think that for gamblers, this is where some of the fun really starts too, because the sports books put up a much larger prop menu, kind of this week on. There's going to be a lot more props available. And futures wise, I got really excited this week to start making some Super Bowl exacta predictions, the gambling menu gets a little bit more diverse and interesting at this stage as well.
Well, as we go through these four games, we could maybe, if there's anything, that's caught your eye on that front. I mean, I don't think we've talked more than three or four times about over-unders, but the prop side of things is always fun, especially Super Bowl. Once we get to Super Bowl, the individual stats and, will there be a safety? Will there be will there be an onside, successful onside kick? I mean, there's so many insane things. How long is the national anthem?
There's literally thousands of bets. Yeah. And my hope is that when it comes time to do the Super Bowl, because there'll only be one game to really predict, that I'll get a chance to delve into those props a bit.
Oh, cool. Very cool. All right. Well,
yes. So this week I've got, in the first game, I've got the Jags, and that number is a little bit all over the map right now. I picked it at 9 on Tuesday. It's still 9 at some shops. It's moved to 8.5 at others. So you know, we might have missed a little bit of a value there. But strangely enough, it's at 10, I think, at Pinnacle. But it's a very, very juiced 10 if you want Jacksonville. It looks like it's like minus 122. So that number is a little bit, you know, there's a little bit of a, what do you call it, like of a mirage with that number. You know, I think Kansas City wins this game by a touchdown. I think that getting those extra points there is probably over the touchdown is probably good. And then the reason why is that, you know, one of the things that I've noticed this season with Kansas City is that they, when they get into these kind of comfortable leads with teams, their defense plays a lot more aggressive, especially in late game situations. And they really just start to bring the house. And that often is because, you know, that often works for them, and they put games to bed, you know, with quarterback sacks and, you know, four and outs and turnovers on downs. But when it doesn't work, they give up these big plays late. And we saw this last week with Jacksonville. I mean, that's where Jacksonville excels, coming from behind, all the pressure off, you know, nothing left to do but pray. And that's when they start to really play their best football. So I'm betting here on a backdoor cover. I think that the Jags get within striking distance at the end of this game. I think we see the Jaguars keep it under 10 points. So I really like getting nine. And if you can get more, get it. That 8.5, it's still okay. But, you know, I think this line may move closer to 7.5, 7, which is where I think it should be.
Well, then there is value right now. And what I use when I write, when I make notes on your analysis, they're showing, my thing is showing 9.5.
Yeah, well, 9.5 is even better. Yeah. If you can get 9.5 somewhere. I don't see it on this, on my screen, okay, in New York. But like I said, you can get a juice 10 at Pinnacle. This is something people should pay attention to as well. Like, you know, all numbers are not the same. I mean, you know, obviously like a 9, a plus 9 at minus 110 and a plus 10 at minus 122, you may think like, oh, well, between those two bets, if I'm taking the dog, I'm going to want to get the I'm going to want to get as many points as I can. But, you know, and then at minus 122, the plus 10 may still be good. But you really have to do the math to figure out whether or not you're getting value. It's not just about how many points you're taking, but also about how much money you're laying, because that's the real price that you pay.
Hmm. Jacksonville and ideally 8.5 or above going into Arrowhead. That gets us to the late game and EAGLES with a very familiar opponent in the New York Football Giants.
Yeah, this is a game. This is of the four games. This is the one that I'm the most nervous about. The line on this game currently is at 7.5, and it's stayed at 7.5. And it's a strange line, and I'll tell you why. The line opened 7 pretty much everywhere when it opened, and there was some big bets came in when it opened 7 on Philly right away, like right out of the box. You know, sharp money came in on Philly at 7, so the line moved to 7.5. Since then, since it's been at 7.5, the money has come in pretty heavy on the Giants, from what I can tell. Seems like they've gotten 75-80% of the money at that 7.5 number, and it has not moved in either direction. And so that's curious to me, right? People sometimes talk about reverse line movement, where all the money comes in on one side, but the book moves the line the opposite direction in order to sort of say, we actually want you to keep betting that side because we think it's the wrong side. I don't know that that's always true. I think that what the bookmakers do is they try to come up with a number where they think the probability is 50-50, right? They want to have as close to the actual probability, coin flip probability, as they can get. So they must think that 7.5 is the right place. It has not moved at all. I really think that if we do see this line move from 7.5, it's not going to, the Giants are not going to get more points, because if the books were going to give the Giants more points, they already would have. So I ended up picking the Eagles -7.5 because I think this line, if it goes in any direction at all, it gets bigger. So I think there's probably real closing line value here on 7.5, because my hunch is that by kickoff it may be higher.
Interesting. So basically, just keep an eye and wait until Saturday.
If you want the Giants, yes. But if you want the Eagles, you need to get it now. Because I do, at least that's my suspicion, is that this may be the best number you're going to get on the Eagles. And just looking at how much money has been bet on the Giants and the fact that the number hasn't budged one bit, if people, you know, if any more sharp money comes in on the Eagles, they may start adding more points to this line. So, yeah, I'm saying if you want the Eagles, get them. But honestly, when I really try to handicap the game, it's hard to handicap. These teams played each other twice this year. The Eagles stomped them both times, but you know, that first game, the Giants had a lot of O-line injuries. They were just not as healthy as they are now. And in the second game, the Giants sat their starters and had nothing to play for at the end of the season, while the Eagles really needed a win. So you can kind of strike a line through both of those games, I think, and really handicap this thing from scratch. You know, one of my themes in my column this week is defense. And, you know, I think that with a lot of these matchups this week, the defense is where I really think you have to look to see where you can get an edge. The offenses are all pretty evenly matched. And, you know, if you look at it, if you look at DVOA at Football Outsiders, which is a stat that I really like a lot, you know, of these eight teams, seven of them are in the top 10 in offensive efficiency this year. You know, these are the best offensive teams in the NFL. But when it comes to defense, there's some real chaff that separates from the wheat. And the Eagles, you know, the Eagles and Giants both have good defenses, but the Eagles have a much stronger defense than the Giants. You know, they're the sack leaders. They give quarterbacks fits. And as good as Daniel Jones looked last week, I mean, and he did look good. He looked like Josh Allen. I mean, he probably was the best quarterback performance of the week last week. I think that he was up against a Minnesota defense that wasn't anything close to what Philly's going to bring to him. So I pick Philly because I think they have a more dominant defense. I think there's a little bit of overreaction to the Giants beating a very overrated Vikings team last week. And because I think this line is probably the best value, best number you're going to get on the Eagles is 7.5.
Two quick things. Explain the DVOA, defense adjusted value over average.
Yeah, so Football Outsiders is one of these like kind of analytics nerds outfits that they created this stat that is supposed to really assess teams relative to the average team on a neutral field, right? And they look at you know, the way that they sort of look at football stats from week to week is they consider how well a team is performing on the field, not whether a team won or lost a game. You know, how many points, for example, can be expected for every play. They try to sort out garbage time from their stats. I mean, these guys do a lot of good work in trying to tweak this particular stat season to season, and it's been pretty effective measure of team ranking. And they rate teams on DVOA on a lot of different categories, right? So they break it down: offense, defense, passing defense, rushing defense, passing offense, rushing offense, special teams, turnover, variance. So they've got a lot of different categories that you can kind of look at and break down these teams. And so I really like Football Outsiders a lot for a way to kind of get a good picture of how teams match up in these different categories. And, you know, you'll see that in some of these other matchups this week where, you know, the 49ers, for example, they're an example of like just an awesome defense, but their defense has some weaknesses, and you can kind of see that when you look at DVOA numbers.
Interesting. And then you make a point along those lines, and I have not seen this brought out, Dave, anywhere else. You kind of shine a spotlight on the Giants against top 10 defenses. They were 2-4-1, and I have not seen this mentioned anywhere else.
Yeah, that the Giants really just took advantage of teams that their defenses weren't very strong. And so I can't remember off the top of my head what those teams were, but yeah, they didn't do so hot when they were in games with teams that were really efficient and effective on defense. So this is the problem with the Giants. The Giants are a average team. Right. They're pretty much dead average. Right. They're like in the very middle of the pack, almost the dead center middle of the pack when it comes to when you really rank the teams in the NFL. And so the thing about being an average team is that, like, you know, and I say this in my column this week, a football game is really a game match between four teams, you know, two offenses and two defenses. And so the Giants, because they are kind of that middle team, they're like decent at everything, but they're not great at anything and they're not terrible at anything, is that they get in these games with teams like the Seahawks, who were great at offense and absolutely terrible on defense. Well, the Giants are the exact right team to exploit that situation and be able to cover the spread or win against a team that has glaring weaknesses. So I just think that the Eagles are not the kind of team that the Giants can beat. So I definitely think the Giants lose. It's just a question of whether or not of whether or not they lose by margin. And like I said before, I just think that 7.5 is the best number you're going to get on the Eagles.
Very good. All right, let's go to Sunday, early game, Cincinnati and Buffalo. And I've seen calls. We discussed this over the last couple of weeks since the Hamlin injury. Cincinnati has to go to Buffalo after everything that transpired. And some people were calling and asking why would this game not necessarily be at a neutral field?
Yeah, I mean, and I would add my voice to those calls. I think this, it seems very weird that in all the discussion about Buffalo, Kansas City, that there was no discussion about Buffalo, Cincinnati, and how Cincinnati did have a shot at number one prior to that game being canceled. So, I feel bad for Bengals fans here. I think that they deserve at least a neutral field in this game. But they're not going to get it. They're going to be playing in Buffalo, and not only going to be playing in Buffalo, but DeMar Hamlin's rumored to be at the game. So I think it'll be a very emotional game. I think there's going to be a lot of, motivation for whatever that's worth on the Bills side of the field.
How does it shake out over the 60 minutes?
Well, it does. It's no fun that it has to be in Buffalo, and you do have to give Buffalo some home field advantage here. But I like the Bengals with the points here. One of the things that the first thing I'll say, and this is a little bit of just sort of overreacting to last week, but I don't think the Bills looked great last week. I mean, they really struggled against a team that, they didn't cover the spread against Miami, and I had picked Buffalo last week, so I might just be smarting from that loss. But that game last week was a surprise. And the reason it was a surprise was because of Buffalo's defense. I mean, Skylar Thompson, is no kind of quarterback. He's not an NFL quarterback, right? And he was just finding Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill over and over again. I mean, on 10 catches, those guys got 113 yards. And this is a guy who the week before, it didn't even look like Mike McDaniel wanted this guy to pass the ball at all. On third and fourth down plays, he was handing the ball off or throwing screens. So they saw something in Buffalo's defense that they could exploit, and they did exploit it pretty effectively. I don't know if you saw the game, but Miami was up at one point.
Yep.
It was stunning. So Buffalo snuck out of there with a win, and I'm not blaming it on Josh Allen. I mean, he didn't look like Superman Josh Allen, but he didn't. I really blame the defense here. I think that there were some secondary issues there that that Miami figure. And so Cincinnati watched that game tape too. They're going to figure out how to take advantage of the same things. And the difference here is that it's not Skylar Thompson throwing to Jalen Waddle. It's, Joe Burrow throwing to Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, and Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
So I just feel like Cincinnati has a chance at winning this game outright, but 5 points seems like a lot of points. And I would definitely take those points. I feel pretty good about this one. I think that, covering the spread, I feel confident about. Winning outright is a little bit of a bigger hurdle for them to get over, especially on the road. But I might sprinkle a little money on that, depending on what the number is.
And you got? Did you get 5 or 5.5?
I got 5. Is it at 5.5 now?
That's so what I'm seeing.
5.5. Mm-hmm. So it's 5.5 at some of these rec books right now. It looks like Pinnacle might have a juiced 5. But yeah, if it's going 5.5, then I didn't get very good closing line value there, but, means there's some action on the Bills, but I still like them. I still like the Bengals. I'm going to question the market here. Sometimes people think like there's a tendency when you see that happen where you make a pick and then you see that the number's moving in your direction and you think, oh, wow, well, if I liked it at 5, I got to really like it at 5.5. I think that typically people should caution themselves against that, right? Because the market is very efficient in the NFL. The market's telling you, hey, we'll give you even more points, then the market's saying you're on the wrong side. You know what I mean?
Right.
But in this particular case, I feel like I don't yet feel nervous that the market's, you know, I don't feel nervous about being on the wrong side of the market yet. You know, if the number keeps going, you know, six, if it goes to 6, then that means there's probably some news I haven't heard yet. You know what I mean? There's an injury somewhere. There's some reason that it's moving that far. And then I start to get a little bit worried and I may not want to bet it. And that's the weird counterintuitive thing about sports betting is that, you know, you'd think intuitively you'd think I want to get as many points as I can. But the problem is that when you do get more points, it's also the market telling you, yeah, we'll give you more points because we think you're wrong. And then you kind of have to doubt yourself a little bit or question, like, what did I miss, you know? But in this particular case, I still think at 5.5, I'm not that shook about it. I'm still going to pick Cincinnati to cover here.
Well, the late game, and I guess the NFL thinks the marquee matchup to some degree, Dallas and San Francisco. And this is an interesting game.
Yeah, I mean it's going to be a good game, and you know my numbers make San Francisco favorites in this game too, but not anywhere close to 3.5. You know, I've got them close to one or two points favorites, depending on how you want to consider home field advantage in this particular game. So I'm shocked that the bookmakers are keeping this number at 3.5 and 4. I would have thought, you know, 3 is such a key number in the NFL, and typically, when in a matchup like this, it's a very close matchup. When a team is getting a field goal, you know, once you go over that field goal, it just always attracts bets onto the dog side. And it hasn't here. People keep piling on San Francisco. Now, again, there may be information out there that's causing this number to move today, because it looks like it's moved to 4 just this morning at Circa and couple other shops, and a minus 110 for it too, so that surprises me. But I would have thought that this number would have just hovered around the 3, 3.5 the whole time, kind of like the Philly Eagles game, bouncing back and forth between 7.5 and 7. So 4 points is a big number, and it's going to attract some more action on the Cowboys side, I think. I'm picking the Cowboys. I'm taking those points. I do think this is a pretty even matchup. I think this is a much closer game than you know, I think there's a lot of reaction to the 49ers and the way that they've been playing and the streak that they've been on. But in the end of the day, you know, Brock Purdy is a rookie quarterback. And, yeah, he's playing in a system where quarterbacks are a little bit dummy-proofed, and he's got a lot of great weapons. They get a lot of yards after the catch, which is helping him. But he's not, you know, this week he's facing the Cowboys defense, and people talk a lot about the San Francisco 49ers defense, as well they should. They're, you know, they're probably the best defense in the NFL, but if they're the best defense in the NFL, the Cowboys are the second best defense in the NFL. And that's the whole problem when I talk about how this is really 4 different football teams that are going to be playing on Sunday, is that Brock Purdy's done really well to manage this offense since Thanksgiving. But he has not had to face the Dallas Cowboys defense. And so the Niners defense keeps them close, keeps their offense on the field. And then the Shanahan offense keeps Purdy kind of in action the whole time. I think he's going to get harassed here, you know, by the Cowboys front. And we may see some rookie mistakes. I think we may finally get to see Brock Purdy making some errors that we haven't seen yet so far since he's been running this team. And, you know, I give him all the credit in the world. I think it's a very cool story. And honestly, I'm kind of rooting for the guy and rooting for the 49ers. I have some exacta bets on the 49ers making the Super Bowl here. But honestly, I'm going to bet on the Cowboys this week. And I mean, I'm getting points. So in some ways, I can have my cake and eat it too. Because I would not be shocked at all to see this game won on a last minute field goal. And that 3 and a hook becomes, that half a point becomes a big deal.
Well, and there's, I mean, for the Dallas fan, there's more out there for them, right?
Yep, there are. And I will, the one caveat I'll say to all this is that, I'd be remiss to not mention the fact that last week, the Cowboys kicker broke the record for missed extra points in a game, and he missed four extra points. And surprisingly, they're going to keep him and they're going to go with him again in this game. So I don't know if there's going to be like a ongoing issue with Marr at the, and if there is, then that's going to really tank my whole handicap here. Especially given that I think this game's going to be close, because I mean, if you're missing extra points, those extra points are incredibly valuable in a game like this one. It didn't matter so much against Tampa Bay, where they were just so much the best and they just smoked them, but they can matter a lot in a game like this. So sure. I'm surprised to see they're sticking with him, but I guess they thought he had the yips and they feel like they can purge him of them and he'll be fine.
Well, and of course, we should note that those that played the over were victimized.
Suckers.
It's the craziest. I mean, that's got to be the most outlandish. I mean, all you had to do was go 1-for-4,
yep.
And the over bettors win.
The over. Well, I bet the under, so I was really glad that he didn't go 1-for-4.
Oh, my God.
And here's
oh,
the other
my
thing.
God.
Every game last week went over except for that game. That was the only game that didn't go over last week. So, really, this is just more grist for the Twitter mill of people that think that the NFL is rigged. You know, everybody that had the over is going to be on Twitter talking about the NFL is scripted and rigged, because how could you miss four extra points?
Exactly.
But look, you know, Brady helped the under too. He didn't score any touchdowns. You know, he scored one touchdown. They missed their 2-point conversion.
That's right.
There's a lot of stuff that helped, you know, but I think there's enough, you know, Brent Maher, missing extra points in a weird way. If you go back and watch that game, really contributed to, I mean, there was a fourth down. I think it was like 4th and 6. I think it was on the 35, and the Cowboys decided to go for it rather than send him out to kick the field goal, which was kind of an interesting choice. I guess at that point they thought, if this guy can't make point, you know, PATs, he's not going to kick a field goal. So they go for it on 4th and 6, and then they score a touchdown on that play. So in a weird way, him missing these extra points helped the coach be more aggressive. And I think that's a good thing. You know, like, I think that NFL coaches kick too many points, extra points. They should be going for two a lot more frequently than they do. They should be going for it on fourth down when they're in the red zone a lot more often than they do. You know, so in a strange way, like, this kicker really, like, you know, falling apart like that really forces coaches to make decisions that might be more optimal in the long run for them. If you just say, you know what, we don't have a kicker. So it's like, you know, it's like in high school football, sometimes these high school kids can't kick. So they just have to go for it all the time. And, you know, it ends up being the right play.
Dave Hill, everybody. And I will put out the link to the column and the New York Times football analyst for the 22-23 NFL season. Jacksonville +9, Eagles -7.5. Bengals +5.5, Dallas +4.5. Dave, as always, fantastic. Yep. I appreciate it, and best of luck. We'll talk next week.
Good luck this weekend.
Dave Hill, everybody. Dave Hill 77. And, of course, the Vapors. I put up the Vapors last week as the Dave Hill image. And for those of you that somehow don't have it on your bookshelf, we'll probably have time in the coming weeks, maybe on the off week. We'll see what's going on with the film or miniseries adaptation of The Vapors that we're rooting for Dave. I did not hear back from Matt. All right, so I guess today's Thursday, right? So I guess we're going to have to, I guess we'll have to save that for after the Turkish Riders North American debut, which is coming Saturday. It's on 3 horses. Let's get to Rich Eng. And I did get the changes. I'm glad it's funny with this. I looked at the whole Aqueduct card today. And I'm really glad. It's the fifth race is just the 25 claimer, state bred, 7 furlongs, males. And I thought it was really a confusing group. And so I put it on the side. I do that. I'll figure, all right, let me come back to this. And it turns out there's 3 scratches. So I'm very pleased that I laid off and did not. I just said I couldn't figure it out. So now I get to look at it fresh. But I want to see if Rich, Santa needed today, but Rich might have some simulcast action, and we'll see what else is going on with Rich. Curious if he's gonna signing on to the. To the coast to coast, to the new pick five with Gulfstream and Santa Anita. Rich Eng, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
Rich, I you might have heard as you were coming on, I was wondering, I'm talking about Aqueduct today. We'll get to that in a minute, but there's a question of the day. They've run this coast to coast pick five so far, the new version of the Magna Five. And I'm curious if you're latching on to it for your sheet and for your weekend action.
In all honesty, I have not dipped my toe into the water yet, but that doesn't mean I won't, Steve. I have not.
All right. I just, two races and 3 races each from either Gulfstream and or, Santa Anita. The first one was... I think we had 2 from Gulfstream, 3 from Santa Anita. Then there were 3 from Gulfstream, 2 from Santa Anita. And I'm going to have to look and see what they decided on for Saturday. That was one thing I did not look at. But I love the multi-race, multi-venue bets. Just a fun challenge.
Yeah, I remember the origin of it going back to the Magna 5. And they had races from all the Magna traction cars. Laurel and Gulfstream and Santa Anita. And, back then it was really a revolutionary thing. And I believe they lowered the takeout too, which makes it interesting. You don't have to pay takeout 5 times. You're paid once. And if you're lucky enough to connect the dots, you could get some enormous payouts.
Yeah, no doubt. And of course, there was the there was also the online contest, the Sitco. Remember the Sitco Pick 6 that ESPN would run? That was that was fun. And NTRA, next time I'll see Keith and Michelle and everybody and Holly next week at the Eclipse Awards. There has not been an NTRA Pick 4, the national Pick 4 that... people, that's another multi-race, multi-venue bet that people loved.
Yeah, those are great ideas because when you think about how field sizes, quite frankly, and many racetracks have been getting smaller, and to some degree, at some places, a little unappetizing. When you're able to kind of cherry pick and link these. Multi-race bets together, it does kind of add a spark. And so, I listening to you talk about it, I agree wholeheartedly that, some of these should be brought back and reinstituted or reinvented or reinvigorated because I think the players really like it.
Agreed. And it's a certain challenge. Plus it's good for, they're always good for the venues because it makes you look at races you otherwise might not have looked at.
Oh yeah, that's a great point. If you try to connect the dots, and you may not be spending as much time on a certain card, and one of the things that as you go through horse racing and handicapping and betting is if you handicap a race, sometimes you decide to pass, but a lot of times you might find a nugget or two that kind of sparks your interest, and you might end up playing a sequence of races or a race on a card that you may not have handicapped before and might not have been interested in before. So it really it's marketing. It's all part of marketing and promoting the sport.
Rich, I want to ask you that the question that came up Last week we discussed. Did we discuss budget considerations with you?
Not really.
No.
I think you had talked about size of wagers and how much was invested, like in some of the pick fives and things like that, because you had. Spoke about maybe betting $450 on a ticket or something like that, and I think I had responded that I'm not a huge pick six player, and on my pick five I usually try to limit it around $50, which to some people may not sound like much, but to others might be enough meat on the bone to get the job done. But and then I mentioned that for me to play a pick five I usually try to find one single within the sequence, and then that gives me a chance to explore in some of the other four legs.
Well, that was the topic, and because I see the bigger budgets, and I that's not my that's not my approach, but I guess the only reason I even brought it up was just because it was notable to me that after a bad stretch, basically. August, September, October, without, any sizable. I mean, I think the biggest multi-race hit I had was $900. And then, basically starting with Santa Anita, we've had three four-figure hits. And I haven't changed the budget. It really is one of those questions of things just, falling into place. And just decision making, the way you rank the horses in individual races, and then the way you applied the budget. I mean, even the other day, in fact, I fell short over the weekend at Oaklawn. Had every horse somewhere, how many times have you done this? Where just a couple too many horses that you had third on your, in your pecking order. Generally you need at least 2 to 3 A's and no more than 2 B's, to cash. And, when there's too many, let's say 3 third choices or third and fourth choices, that win, you're not going to cash. I mean, it's just, even unless you're somebody that goes, that's putting in tickets 4x4x5x4, and to me, it's just not a fruitful approach to me.
Well, I'll give you an example of something that I've done, and I guarantee almost every handicapper or listener out there has done, Steve, is, sometimes you take a look at your ticket, it's a little more expensive than you want to spend. And so you try to pare it down a little bit, and God forbid if the last horse you take out of your sequence is a horse that wins and costs you the ticket, and then I've had mm-hmm. people say to me, well, instead of budgeting yourself to around $50-something, if you had spent $80 or $90, you would have hit it. And the thing is, if I spend more than I budget. And I go through a dry spell, I basically eat into my budget at a faster rate than I really normally want to. So, it hurts, when you go through a sequence like that and the last horse you take out is a winner and costs you, actually hitting that ticket. But, if I had a larger budget, some people out there, the budget size is a personal thing. It depends on how much money you want to, bet on. And this is the same, I live here in Vegas, Steve. It's the same as whether you're betting on sports or horses. You have to have a budget and you have to keep your money separate from, things like putting food on the table, paying the rent or the mortgage and stuff like that. Your betting money should be aside, and I do that personally. So for people out there listening, whether your budget is $1,000, $5,000, $10,000, whatever your budget is, you have to live within those means if you want to become a winning gambler, whether it's horses or sports.
Absolutely. Speaking of sports, by the way, you're following Dave Hill from the Times, and you also gave out, right? You gave out Jacksonville you liked. Who was your prime play? last week?
I'm trying to remember. I had a really good weekend, but I can't exactly remember which game I gave out on
whatever you gave out, it was a winner. That I know.
Yes.
That's all that matters. That's all.
I know for a fact I did really like the Giants when they were playing Minnesota. I gave out the Giants +3 to some people, and I was really big also on the San Francisco 49ers. I might have given out the 49ers on the show with you, Steve, because I really think the 49ers, when I took a look at the entire field starting the playoffs, you know, before the wild card round, my handicap with the National Football League, I like them best to actually win the Super Bowl is the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I know, Steve, I may be trading lightly into some territory with you as a huge Eagles fan, but if the performance comes through with the Eagles beating the Giants and the 49ers beating Dallas, I cannot wait for that matchup with the Eagles and the 49ers, the top two seeds in the NFC. And you'll be there, I imagine.
I'm going to be on the road. I'm going to be down in Florida, actually, and it would be the day I'll be down for Holy Bull the day before. I'll ride this one out. I've never been to a Super Bowl, so that in the back of my mind, I've said maybe I don't know, but I am not even thinking that way right now. So this weekend, you're right back on San Francisco again?
Yeah, I'm going to give out San Francisco now. The line opened up at 3.5, and it got bit up to 4 at some places. There seems to be, though, a lot of interest in the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, they were super impressive in beating Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But I really think that the 49ers, if you just compare, you know, their offense and their defense versus the Buccaneers, it's a different animal. The Dallas is facing a much more talented, you know, much more, you know, the 49ers do almost everything better than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do. And even though Brock Purdy is, you know, everyone knows the story of him being Mr. Irrelevant, 7th-round pick. I mean, when you watch his play over the last 6 games, he certainly does not look like a rookie. And I think a lot of that has to do with the tremendous scheme that Kyle Shanahan has installed with the 49ers. The quarterbacks have always been plug and play, but Purdy has played, you know, better than Trey Lance was before he got hurt.
Yep.
He's played better than Jimmy Garoppolo did before
yep.
he got hurt.
Yep.
So I like the 3.5 with the 49ers. Now, some of those people, you know, don't like the hook. You can buy the hook, and as far as getting the number down to 3 if you want. You have to pay a little extra juice for that. But I do like San Francisco against Dallas as my favorite play out of the 4 games.
Very good. All right. You got anything at Aqueduct today? Because I'm about to put up my full car. I ended up doing all 8 races. There were some notable scratches, particularly in the 5th and the 7th.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, I do have a horse I like that I'm going to play today in the 5th race. It's 7 furlongs, state bred, claiming 25,000. And I like the extreme outside horse, the 8, Mass Marauder. This is a dead leg closer, and Jose Gomez, the very talented apprentice riding for Rudy Rodriguez. But, you know, in these elongated sprints, I really like when the horse and jockey get in an outside post and have a chance to kind of have a bird's eye view of the speed on the inside. And I think this horse will get a real nice trip and finish strong. So as far as a play of the day, let's try the number 8, Mass Marauder, 4-1 in the morning line in the 5th race at Aqueduct.
Rudy Rodriguez and with Jose Gomez, who very well may take home the apprentice Eclipse on Thursday, week from tonight. I'll get all of this up as quickly as I can. I've got to fill in the multi-race ideas. And Rich, the looks like the rain is behind us at Santa Anita, and so hopefully it's free and clear the rest of the winter.
Well, yeah, actually, you know, it's a double-edged sword for us here in Vegas. Lord knows we need the rain.
Right.
because if you take a look at Lake Mead, it has really
terrible
precipitous drops. But, you know, the amount of rain has really packed the mountains. They call it snowpack. And that's really important for the water levels in some of the drought-affected states like California and Nevada. But, you know, as far as horse racing, you know, we had two cancellations last week. Yeah, I hope we have clear sailing for a while because we want to play Santa Anita.
Rich Eng, everybody. Rich Eng for Pro Pick on Twitter. RaceDayLasVegas.com. Ralph Sirocco and the team for Rich's Southern California Daily Analysis. Rich, good luck this week. I'll talk to you from Florida next week.
And Steve, go Eagles. I'm looking for an Eagles 49ers NFC Championship game.
Well, then I guess that's where your support is going to end. Rich Eng, everybody. Thanks. That's all right. Listen, that's fine. Rich Eng, folks. And, of course, the author of Betting on Horse Racing for Dummies as well, the new second edition. Let's call it and send you out into the race day, and that is going to include this action at Aqueduct. We're about 53 minutes away, so I got to quickly, what I'll do is I'll put up the analysis and the early multis, and then I'll, you know, give me a little bit of time to finish out races 4 through 8 and, you know, the late pick 5 and the late pick 4 and the pick 5 as well. All right. So I'll get that out to you ASAP. The rest of the action, let's see. The rest of the action on this Thursday as things start to pick up between Aqueduct, Fairgrounds, Gulfstream today, Turfway tonight after last night's fun, Charlestown, Delta, Louisiana Downs, Mahoning, Penn National, Turf Paradise. There's a Turf Paradise story to discuss probably next week. Always a problem. Good luck today, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow. Twin Spires weekend preview. Lots of Fairgrounds. Talk to you then.
At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse...